and more about the life of the musician Robert Wyatt. It's still the early years, but various influences are being absorbed and a desire to play the drums in Different Every Time by Marcus O'Dare.
Robert Wyatt believes he was named in Robert Graves's honour, a family friend since the 1930s. By the early 1960s, when Robert took a journey to the rural village of Dea in Mallorca to stay with him, Graves had written the historical novel I, Claudius, the autobiographical Goodbye to All That, and was professor of poetry at Oxford. He also represented a walking, talking rejection of social and moral restraint, and retained a physical grace unusual for a man in his late 60s. A magnificent bloke, is how Wyatt describes him. Fantastically handsome. I remember him leaping down the side of the mountain like a goat when everyone else was clambering. The classical scholar was also a fan of avant-garde jazz, and Graves encouraged Robert as a drummer, soon giving him the nickname Batty, from the Spanish word bateria, meaning drum kit. Robert even had a few lessons from Graves's future son-in-law, the young Catalan drummer, Ramon Farran. Wyatt recalls afternoons playing conga drums in the open air as the Mediterranean nibbled at fishermen's huts below. After 5 months in this Eden, however, it was time to leave. Robert moved to London. Sharing his flat in Belsize Park were Kevin Ayres, Hugh Hopper, and Ted Bing, a school friend who later worked as a soft machine roadie. There were four of us in one big room, Robert remembers. There was a permanent smell of hot curry coming up the staircase and a pregnant prostitute next door. She used to come and dance for us in her leotard. David Allen had also moved to London and soon enlisted Robert and Hugh as the rhythm section of his new group. Inspired by Beat Generation writers, the David Allen trio set out to combine poetry with avant-garde jazz and secured a fortnight booking at the Establishment Club in Soho. Robert's first Soho gig did not go well. "We played there for a night," he recalls, "and they said, 'God, no,' and threw us out. They just wanted foot-tapping jazz." It was soon to be the end of the line for the trio, and David moved on to Paris. Robert and Hugh stayed on in London. It was there, in a Kensington attic flat, that 18-year-old Wyatt received news from his half-brother Julian of his father's death. Bereaved and bandless, Robert set off to Mallorca for a second summer with Robert Graves, this time joined by the sun-worshipping Kevin Ayres. Ramon Farran was now running the Indigo Jazz Club in Parma, and Robert played at the venue on a few occasions, where he met Ronnie Scott, a talented saxophonist better known for his world-famous Soho Club. David Allen joined Robert and Kevin in Dea, and they began to play together. It was at this point, according to Ayres, that the music really began to gel. By April 1965, the editor of Vogue magazine would declare London the most swinging city in the world. In Canterbury, 70 miles southeast of London, Hugh and Brian Hopper started a band. Brian contributed guitar and saxophone, while Hugh played bass. Kevin and Robert, upon their return from Mallorca, were installed on vocals and drums, respectively. Completing the lineup was rhythm guitarist Richard Sinclair. The young musicians, rehearsing at the Hopper family home, called themselves the Wildflowers, but soon added an E in tribute to Oscar Wilde. Sinclair recalls many sexy art school girls at Wildflowers gigs. One such was Pam Howard, blonde and beautiful, and by now Wyatt's girlfriend. His mother, Honor, was living in Italy, so Robert moved in with Pam in Canterbury. With only a negligible income from gigs, he took on odd jobs such as hop picking and life modelling. Rather conveniently, however, he was barred from conventional employment due to the length of his hair. In order to pay the rent, Pam dropped out of art college and took a job running guided tours of Canterbury Cathedral. When Pam became pregnant, she continued to attend Wildflowers gigs, Robert improvising a maternity dress by cutting away a circle of fabric to expose her bulging stomach. Their son Sam was born in Canterbury on the 23rd of May, 1966. In the summer of 1965, when Kevin Ayres left the Wildflowers, Robert moved to the front of the stage and became, for what would be the only time in his life, a frontman in the traditional sense. However, he was no shoo-in as lead singer. His vocals were mournful and high in pitch. His first significant vocal on record is Memories, a Hugh Hopper composition recorded in the spring of 1966. Already, at the age of 21, Wyatt's voice was world-weary and innocent as grass. Robert also played with David Allen and Kevin Ayres in their new band, Mr. Head. Robert, on drums, shared vocal duties with David and Kevin, who alternated on guitar and bass. Completing the lineup was Larry Nolin, an American guitarist. By August 1966, they had been joined by Mike Ratledge, who had just finished his degree at Oxford. "I was starting to miss the keyboard thing that I'd heard in jazz," explains Robert. "Mike had just finished doing philosophy at university, and I invited him to come and join us on organ." Leaving Canterbury meant leaving the Wildflowers. With the exception of Larry Nolin, however, Robert's Mr. Head bandmates moved with him to his mother's house in Dulwich at 48 Dalmore Road. Honour would become the band's most important benefactor. As well as playing a key role in bringing up Sam, she would accommodate a revolving cast of musicians, friends and girlfriends for the next 4 years. By the time Larry Nolin left in September 1966, Mr. Head had chosen a new name, The Soft Machine. It was a reference to the human body from the novel of the same title by William Burroughs, the darkly sardonic beat author. Deciding they needed permission from Burroughs to adopt the name, David Allen was delegated to seek the writer's blessing. He managed to arrange a meeting in London, near Paddington Station. Burroughs appeared out of a shop front, hat pulled over his eyes, blinked like an old alligator, and drooled, "Can't see why not." With the name change cleared and Larry Nolin gone, David took over guitar duties while Kevin moved permanently to bass. With Mike Ratledge on organ and Robert on drums, the first classic Soft Machine lineup was in place. With members of the band facing all points of the compass, musically and temperamentally, the Soft Machine centre would not hold forever. But for a while, creative tension within the band resulted in some of the most original and enduring music of the era, an effervescent mix of pop, soul, jazz, and incipient psychedelia. Kevin Ayres got the band a management deal with Anim, and the Soft Machine were soon sent into the studio to record a single of Love Makes Sweet Music, written by Ayres and released by Polydor in February 1967. It was a landmark moment for the 22-year-old Wyatt, his first commercial release. The band were joined by Jimi Hendrix for a launch show at London's new Speakeasy Club. Yet even with the endorsement of Hendrix and an interview on pirate radio station Radio Caroline, Love Makes Sweet Music failed to be a huge commercial success. They decided to concentrate on playing live. Set up to report on the sex, drugs and rock and roll ignored by the mainstream press, the International Times, or simply IT, was the UK's first underground newspaper, the leading fanzine or blog of its day. Its launch, an all-night rave at the Roundhouse on the 14th of October 1966, was attended by an estimated 2,500, including Paul McCartney in Arab robes, blow-up director Michelangelo Antonioni, and Marianne Faithfull. Punters were handed sugar cubes upon arrival, apparently only dipped in placebo acid, and once inside, rolled around within a giant jelly. The Soft Machine set featured an onstage motorbike and a happening led by Yoko Ono, who commanded revelers to touch one another in the dark. From then on, the Soft Machine and Pink Floyd would be, in the words of Floyd drummer Nick Mason, the twin house bands of the London Underground. UFO, pronounced UFO and standing for Unlimited Freakout, was London's first psychedelic nightclub, set up at the end of 1966. It took place every Friday and lasted until 6 o'clock the following morning. "It hadn't got a focus stage," says Robert. "That's what I liked about UFO. It was very dreamlike. You went in, you turned left, there were pillars and columns, like you get in catacombs." As well as bands, a typical night in London's Tottenham Court Road basement club featured theatre, poetry, mime and dance. Macrobiotic food was on sale, as were velvet trousers and paisley shirts. UFO audiences were less interested in dancing to tunes they recognised from the radio than in head music, extended versions that could be appreciated seated or even prone, more or less psychedelically enhanced. "We came from being jazz instrumentalists," explains David Allen. "So, even in the midst of all that pop music, we'd have what we called freakouts." Kevin and David were responsible for many of the compositional ideas. The musical impetus for the freakouts, however, came from Mike and Robert, the band's most talented instrumentalists. Crucial to these protracted improvisations were the visuals of Scottish artist Mark Boyle and his collaborator Joan Hills, together known as the Sensual Laboratory. Dropping acid into perforated zinc, for instance, created the ideal accompaniment to one of Robert's drum solos. The band joked that their loud stage volume was necessary to drown out Boyle's screams as he burned face or fingers. "It was absolutely lethal what he was doing up there on the scaffold with his goggles on." Robert shakes his head. "He was burning holes in coloured plastic with acid." The Soft Machine weren't playing as a pop band, they were playing as if it was a happening, recalls DJ and scenester Jeff Dexter. "It was experimental, man."
Julian Ryan-Tutt was reading from Different Every Time by Marcus O'Dare. The producer was Duncan Minchell. And tomorrow, the London party that will change Robert Wyatt's life forever. On Monday, Radio 4 Extra begins a dramatisation of Snobs by Julian Fellowes. Edith, the beautiful daughter of an accountant, has met an eligible earl, but on their first date she realises she might have to embellish the truth about her father's profession.
"I suppose he has to move about quite a bit?"
"Quite a bit."
Actually, Kenneth Lavery had moved from the London Underground to the same office in the city for the last 32 years. But Edith had judged right. There was something much less petit-bourgeois about a high flyer with permanent jet lag than a drudge buying a ticket for the Piccadilly line northbound.
Hugh Bonneville stars in Snobs, starting next Monday afternoon at 2:30, over on Radio 4 Extra. It's the busiest time of year for the online dating industry, but how do you get the most out of it? If you've found love online, Call You and Yours are eager to hear your stories. You can email youandyours@bbc.co.uk and join Winifred Robinson at 12:05.